1.
Enter the asylum. For a terrifying new tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, Rick, it's the Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
Yes, indeed, and here we are, week 11.
Don't remind
me. It's terrible.
It's disgusting.
But hey, drop us a line, fantasyfootball, or asylumfootball@gmail.com.
At Asylum Football on Twitter, the slow crawl has turned into a bit of a sprint. An old man sprint, mind you, but a sprint towards 1,000. What are we away, Rick? 8 away?
Only 8 away.
Only 8 away, so put us over the top. End the national nightmare of the Asylum at Asylum Football not having 1,000 followers.
That's right. Some of you at WSRU 88.1 FM The Rock, get on Twitter and follow us at Asylum Football.
Please do. All right, Rick, well, you said it already. I don't like to hear it. We are at week 11. Unbelievable in the home stretch, in the playoff stretch for your fantasy team. So if you ever needed help, this is the week you really need to start sweating.
Yeah, I tell you what, and it's significant teams on bye this week. I mean, you got some heavy running backs out.
Some heavy hitters, some might say.
Yeah, there you go. That's for sure.
That's an inside joke.
Other than, maybe Eli, who hasn't been playing much, is not much significance in quarterbacks, but certainly running backs and wide receivers.
Yeah, no question about it. Most notably, I'd say Chris Johnson. Yeah, hate to see the bye week. This guy's really been on a roll. I hope the momentum isn't lost with the week off.
Yeah, and Marshawn Lynch as well. I mean, two big guys.
That one's going to hurt me, fortunately. A civil war will once again be going on this week. If you didn't listen Tuesday, Briggs and I will face off in the Caveman League. Fortunately, it's going to be more of a toilet bowl as I have Marshawn Lynch on by. Mr. Briggs has Chris Johnson on by, so it's going to be the battle of the backup running back in the Caveman League.
And let's revisit our second stringers, as it may be, or our second and third. Who do you have in there right now?
Well, I'll be playing Doug Martin. And
yeah, okay.
And I don't remember. I had too many teams, Rick. Hold on. I'll get on that.
I believe you have what, Dwyer?
Am I starting Dwyer this week, which doesn't look good with Mendenhall coming back and Redmond out there? I'm not feeling too good about it if that's that team.
Yeah, and, I've got Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and your old buddy Sean Green. But I tell you what, we're talking Chris Johns, we're talking Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, of course, is another one on a bye, and it was on Giants, and then Maude Bradshaw.
Yeah.
It was significant the whole way around.
Yeah, it looks like I'm going to be faced with either Dwyer. I have Redmond on the bench. I'm not real worried about Mendenhall. We'll get into that much later in the show. But I'm also faced with one D'Angelo Williams sitting on my bench, Rick, and we know how I feel about that, so I'm not going to be playing him.
Yeah, and we don't need to hear Taylor Swift to know that either.
I love the look of panic that comes across your face every time I mention the name D'Angelo Williams for fear I'll play Taylor Swift again.
But, and then the wide receivers, of course, Sidney Rice has been coming on, maybe getting some play. Victor Cruz, of course, is the big guy. Percy Harvin, kind of banged up. He needs the bye, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think this comes at the perfect time for him and the Vikings.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get into it, Rick, get you ready for as much as we can going into week 11. Let's start off with some headlines, Rick. This is pretty big news to me, something we didn't talk about on Tuesday. Julio Jones has yet to practice this week, considered a game-time decision with an ankle injury. And, pretty much by rule, if you haven't practiced by Friday, you're probably not going to play. That could be big news for Julio Jones owners.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, yeah, there's a little panic motion right there, hopefully you have somebody to fill in on him if he's not, because it's been very what you should say, underpublicized, I
yeah,
guess, really.
I mean,
they haven't been saying much about it.
No, you haven't heard a lot about it. I was surprised to read that he still hadn't practiced. And, you know, they'd list him as questionable all week, but at this point, 75% of the league is questionable. You don't really think much of it. When they start talking game-time decision, you wonder if he's going to dress, and even if he does, how many targets he's going to get. So that could be big news. You're going to have to monitor that a lot more closely on Sunday morning, which is always the worst thing to have to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't have the schedule in front of me. What are they, an early game or a late game?
I know they play Arizona. It's going to depend on where
they're in Atlanta, though.
Yeah, they're at Atlanta. It is a 1 o'clock
game.
So it gives you options. Have somebody on your bench and prepared. At least it's not the dreaded game time decision for the 8:30 Sunday night game is always the worst. That ought to be outlawed by the NFL for the benefit of us fantasy owners.
Yeah, well, they do everything to make our life even harder.
They do. It's sad, really. So, speaking of the Steelers with all their injuries, obviously Ben Roethlisberger out this week. Antonio Brown also been ruled out. Looks like, as I said earlier, Rashard Mendenhall is going to play. So, I don't think we're not going to spend a lot more time discussing the effects of losing Ben Roethlisberger on the Steelers. It is what it is. We know how it's going to be. Let's talk now about this Steelers running game. You can run on the Ravens defense. Now you're going to have three backs who, in recent weeks, Mendenhall, before he went down with the injury, looked good for a couple weeks. For 2 weeks, Dwyer was unbeatable. For a week, Redmond was amazing. How do you see the Steelers' run game shaping up this week? And as we talked about for me in the Caveman League, we're in that awkward position where now, because we're on the radio, you have to help me. How do you see it going, and what do you do with the Steelers' running game?
It's a fantasy nightmare is about all I can say. I have no doubt that they're going to be able to run.
But who?
Yeah, exactly. As a fantasy owner, you know, you're rolling the bones on which one's going to be getting the lion's share of the carries, and or is it going to be real even? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if it was that. I think if they found something that was working, maybe early on you see a rotation. I have a hard time believing, and maybe I'm wrong, I have a hard time believing they'll rotate three backs. I think somebody's going to be the odd man out here, and that would be my fear, is whichever one I pick to play against you this week is going to be the odd man out. It would be very rare. You still have Chris Rainey back there handling a lot of the third down duties. I can't see them rotating three guys, but I couldn't fathom a guess as to which the two that will be in the rotation will be and what that workload split will look like.
I'm not so sure that Mendenhall will get a lot of work.
Why would he?
Exactly. And I mean, as good as the running game's been with the other guys, why would you risk that? He's already had the knee injury, the Achilles injury. I mean, you just don't want to be messing around with that, I would not think. Especially, I mean, they're in pretty good position for playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you still you worry about Baltimore, you worry about not having Roethlisberger. Other than these two Baltimore games, a pretty soft schedule. So I think they could still set up to make a playoff run. So, Rick, I'm going to ask you. You're going to have to help me, and you can't sandbag me here because that's against your radio professional's ethics. So I'm calling in. This is Rick from Pennsylvania. I have one running back position open. Would you start Jonathan Dwyer, Isaac Redman, or the dreaded D'Angelo Williams?
Truthfully, I would probably go Dwyer.
That's where I'm leaning. That's actually who I have plugged in right now. You saw it last week. We're going to assume Mendenhall doesn't get a lot of carries, which probably means he's going to get 24 carries in this game. But assuming he doesn't get a lot of carries, you saw what happened last week. Redman was getting the ball early, put the ball on the ground, and Mike Tomlin just won't tolerate it. You put the ball on the ground, then you saw Dwyer get the rest of the carries the rest of the way out. So I would think early on Dwyer's going to get the bulk of the workload. He'll probably be the starter, quote-unquote, based purely on that fumble, to be honest with you, that single fumble by Redmond that they didn't end up but a field goal. So I'm thinking, so if Dwyer's successful early on, he keeps on. If he struggles for three or four plays, then you see the rotation come. So it's sticky, but it's sad to say with D'Angelo Williams, either of these guys is still a better and at least a safer option.
I know. It's just a sad state of affairs when you're talking about Carolina running game. So, I mean, I think Dwyer will probably get the start. I don't know. Maybe Mendenhall will get more carries than what you think because of the drops that Redmond had. I have no idea. It's just one of those things, and it's not like Mike Tomlin plan on his sleeve either. So
he's certainly not going to tell you. So let's move on. Speaking of running back situations, McFadden and Goodson out again for the Raiders. So here's another interesting one, Rick, going up against that 32nd-ranked New Orleans Saints rush defense that actually managed to shut Michael Turner down last week. You know, maybe he's probably not available out there, but a guy in my situation, would you trust Marcel Reese over any of these guys we've mentioned so far?
In a PPR, I think I would. The number of catches that he's getting, Carson Palmer's been relying on him. And let's face it, this is probably going to be an air show here.
Yeah.
And I see a ton of garbage points towards the end of the game for Oakland because they'll probably be getting murdered.
You would think so. Although Oakland's a tough place to play.
Yeah, but I think he's going to get a share of the carries. So I would, he's certainly viable. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, I would start him over there. But, I don't know. I like him in that format, but I think maybe over Pittsburgh back this week, to be honest.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It might be. I'm sure he's not available on the waiver wire. There's probably a big push for him last week. But I agree, like you said, especially in PPR formats, he struggled last week, but talk about a favorable matchup plus his ability through the air. I think he is a viable play against that terrible Saints defense. Saints defense. And finally, Rick, we were lucky enough to be on I just went blank on what the show's called.
The Double X Project?
The Double X Project podcast on Wednesday night with our boy Jason Consoli, Jay Smooth, as we know him, at Fantasy Six Man on Twitter. And we talked a lot of junk, Rick, that it was over. We had the LeSean, who finishes with more fantasy points, LeSean McCoy or Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles, questionable, looks like he could play this week, so coming back earlier than I expected him to play. Are we in any danger here? Are we going to have to eat crow after all our chest puffing, as if you will, on Jay's show on Wednesday?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, now we have Philadelphia with Nick Foles,
yeah,
you know, at quarterback. They're going to have to rely on McCoy. I don't think that we're in danger of that. You know, Sproles is coming off a hand injury. Is that going to affect his pass catching? I don't know.
Very, very well could and very well should. So
yeah.
Interesting to look at. More what I take away from this, I was just trying to give the Double X Project and our boy Jay Smooth a little plug there. But more interestingly, here we go again. It's a shame. Chris Ivory does it again last week. Now we start this little dance you do at the end of the last couple seasons. Is Ivory rolling? Is he ready to go? Is it time for him to go? And here comes Darren Sproles back. And for whatever reason, Chris Ivory, I got a feeling he'll find himself right back to the end of the bench again.
I don't know. That's a strange set of events there. It's kind of interesting, the success that Ivory's had all of a sudden. Sproles is coming back a little quicker than what we thought as well. And, speaking of that podcast we did, I made a statement on there that game Thursday night, Buffalo-Miami, was going to be a statement game for Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
You know what? He didn't make a statement.
No, he didn't.
And I was really thought that he was going to have a good game coming off that benching situation because of the fumble. Buffalo's susceptibility to the rush. And you know what? I mean, Miami looked done.
Yeah, just looked awful. And what's interesting with that, Reggie Bush, as good as he was last year, as good as he was at the beginning of the season, the numbers have been trailing off. We talked about it Tuesday. And here we go again. Last night, Rick, Daniel Thomas gets 12 carries to Reggie Bush's 10. So
yeah,
you're looking at an even split here. Neither one of them with any success, which I find stunning. Bush 10 for 20, Thomas 12 for 33. If you can't run the ball against that Bills team, you got issues all of a sudden. I don't know what happened there, why this team can't run the ball.
No, I don't either. After the year he had, you would think that they actually – are improving somewhat in the wide receiver area. Of course, Brandon Marshall's gone, and, you know, Brian Hartline doesn't scare people like Brandon Marshall did.
No, that's for sure.
So, hence he's probably getting some numbers that he normally wouldn't get, but they're clamping down on the rushing game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I think the moral of the story is the takeaway from that. I'm ready to declare already, Rick, that Reggie Bush has got to find his way to your bench. It's splitting carries with Daniel Thomas. He's struggling as it is, but losing his carries, and actually a small majority, but a majority of the carries going to Thomas. It's time for Reggie Bush to have a seat.
Yeah, I agree. I really feel I was corrected. It was a statement game, but not in the way I thought it was going to be made.
He definitely made a statement. It just wasn't a statement you thought he was going to make.
Exactly.
So sticking with that game, Ryan Tannehill struggles again, 141 yards, a touchdown, and two picks. Another tough game for him. He put a few games together there, started to look, I don't know about fantasy viable, but NFL starter viable, and really sort of hit the rookie plateau here and has come crashing back to earth. And you mentioned Brian Hartline. He had that huge game, one of the biggest waiver wire pickups of the year. Again this week, probably with the struggles of the team in general, four grabs for 49 yards, but also put the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
So a tough game for him and the Dolphins offense altogether.
Yeah, critical fumble there. And, Buffalo had a kickoff return touchdown and four field goals, and that was more than enough to seal the win there.
Yeah, Miami, so three total touchdowns scored in the game, two of them done by special teams, so it just wasn't the offensive show I sort of thought I'd see in this game, and you think you're going to see any time Buffalo plays.
Yeah.
On the Buffalo side, a real surprisingly bad statistical game for Ryan Fitzpatrick, 168 yards and doesn't manage to throw a touchdown. That surprised me.
Yeah, it's...
These Thursday night games, they need to get rid of them. It's always something weird.
It is Thursday night. There's something to do with Thursday night games. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is very underwhelming. And, I mean, you're waiting for this, you know, for him to come out with one of his games. You know, whether or not they win or lose doesn't really matter. You're just waiting for that, you know, 333 yards and three touchdowns, you know, and it's just not coming.
Yeah, and usually with him, you can accept the four interceptions that will go along with those three touchdowns. None of that happened last night. No interceptions, but doesn't manage to find the end zone and doesn't crack the 200-yard mark. A guy we talked about Tuesday, and I know we talked on Fantasy Six Man's podcast, C.J. Spiller, I declared is an absolute must-start with Fred Jackson out. Not the game I expected out of him, a respectable 91 yards on 22 carries, also caught three balls for 39 yards.
But so, again, they can't find the end zone.
Couldn't get into the end zone. It just sort of disappointing. It's just a weird situation. There was no offense in that game against at least one team with a lot of offense. Stevie Johnson, once again, a very Stevie Johnson-like six grabs for 79 yards. Unfortunately, that's one of his better games this season. This guy I considered a real solid high-end number two wide receiver. I've got him on some benches right now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's just, you know, Steve Johnson, I thought he was going to have a big game starting out there. He got like two or three catches right
early
in a row. It's like, wow, this is going to be a big game, and just went silent.
It was their first drive or their second drive. He caught that 20-yard catch on a 3rd and 16, turned right around, had another 12-yard catch, and then just sort of faded to the back again. Yeah, Miami, we talked about pretty good defense, getting the job done in terms of that, in terms of holding Spiller down. For a while, Spiller looked unstoppable. The second half of that game just ground to a total halt.
Yeah, and neither one of these teams going anywhere this year, that's for sure. But
no question about it. So let's move on from that. Way too much time spent on that game.
Thinking the same thing.
All right, so let's get into Rick. I know you've been looking forward to this all day from your statements before. We'll get into our start and sit segment.
Well, we'll do that, but I wanted to touch in briefly on a couple of little stories we talked about before we went on the air. Apparently, Kansas City has been in contact with Marty Schottenheimer for consulting purposes.
Consulting purposes, huh?
And
what
does
that mean? Consult you on how to lose in the first round of the playoffs, regardless of the success of your season?
Well, maybe, but
and
then
they may take that.
But
down.
Then again, at least you're in the playoffs.
That's true. They probably would take that at this point.
No doubt. And apparently, Jim Harbaugh had a heart procedure Wednesday, not feeling well. The team meeting or whatever, and went to hospital, and they did some sort of minor heart procedure because he had an irregular heartbeat.
See, now, how did I just completely miss that? I had no idea that was going on. Is he expected to be on the sideline this week?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow. So football coaches, you don't see a lot of this. I'm surprised I don't, especially a fiery guy like Harbaugh. You think they'd be going down left and right with ailments like this.
Yeah, well, we had a question in the chat room here if you want to hit on that real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, the flex position, PPR. Cobb, Amendola, Lance Moore.
Cobb, Amendola, Lance Moore. I think it's Cobb, and it's not really even close. I think Randall Cobb, especially in a flex position as a wide receiver three, is an absolute every week start at this point. Packers got that offense rolling a little bit, and I like Cobb, especially with Jennings continuing to be out.
So you like Cobb over Lance Moore?
I do.
Okay.
It's tough, but Moore, I think what I'm going to get out of Cobb is more consistency. Moore this week will have 7 grabs for 112 and 2 touchdowns, and then he'll be a 4-for-60, 4-for-70 guy. A lot more upside with Cobb for me.
I think there's a lot of upside in PPR with Danny Amendola as well.
You won't get off the Amendola train.
He gets in PPR, he gets a lot of catches. But
this week he's going to be standing across from Mr. Cromartie, could shut him down a little bit. Jets defense hasn't been what they were in the last couple of years, but I think that's a tough matchup for Amendola this week.
That's true. I still like him a little better than Cobb, though. And I would go Lance Moore first, I believe.
So we just had this big – so you're putting Cobb actually third on this list then?
In PPR, yeah.
Well, this is why people listen to the show for my advice and to hear what was the tweet we got today referring to you as Archie Bunker or something? Don't play with that yet, Rick. It's not ready to go.
Oh, yes, it is. So it's raring to go, pal. It's raring to go.
But I believe you were described as or likened to Archie Bunker.
No, I don't believe it had anything to do with me.
Oh, yeah.
It was Asylum Football.
So we're both Archie Bunker.
It was our pal Z-Bull, and apparently seemed to think that I was the John Madden part of it.
I did.
And,
I completely
and you were the
disagree.
Archie Bunker and the Benny Hill of the
I'm
of
both
the bunch.
Of them.
Yeah.
I'm both of them.
Exactly.
So if this were the All in the Family, who would be Archie and who would be Meathead?
Oh, you're Meathead. There ain't no doubt.
So
about
then you
that.
Admit your archery. That's the your archery. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got hunting on the brain. You can't just hit that anytime you want me to shut up. I won't do it.
Yes, you will.
All right, fair enough. So let's move on, Rick. Let's get into some starts and sits, if you don't mind. If you're done playing with the gong, we'll get into that. So, Rick, I'll let you start this show.
I was getting into my seeing.
Oh, for God's sake, you're seeing. Can you see a starting quarterback this week so the show can move on?
Well, if you're in a situation, there's very little significant quarterback play on bye. But if you're one of these guys, maybe you have Michael Vick or Ben Roethlisberger, something like that as your only quarterback, it could be this guy's seasoned and he's been a starter before. And, Jason Campbell could be a sneaky little start. I know it's against San Francisco. Who cares what you think? I mean, you're asking my start and you're sitting there.
But your start is wrong.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
It's as simple as that.
Okay, do we have to go back to the Sean Green?
No, enough of your Sean Green. You dummied into one pick this year, one pick. You got all your DAP on Twitter. The moment's passed.
Well, I've also
some of your grandkids are going to be hearing about in 20 years.
I've also
one time on my podcast.
I've also done a factor fiction percentage. And guess who's 15% ahead of the other guy?
Well, you do that.
Anybody want to guess?
You do that
Come
fuzzy
on.
Math.
Come on, guess.
I'm going to go with me.
Well, you're wrong.
Oh, Lord. This show's going off the road. I was just thinking, this has nothing to do with anything but talking about Archie Bunker. It just makes me think about my all-time favorite episode. I hope you remember this one, Rick. I don't know where they were going, but Meathead was putting on his shoes, and he put on a sock and a shoe.
Love it.
And then a sock and a shoe. And Archie went nuts that you got to put on a sock and a sock and a shoe and a shoe in case the house caught on fire.
Right.
So you'd at least have socks on at the minimum. And Meathead was arguing, well, if you had one shoe on, you could at least hop out on one foot. And this went on for 20 minutes, and it was the single greatest 20 minutes of television that I can ever recall. Just every time I hear that name, I think of that.
Oh, I know.
You can't put on a sock and a shoe. You put on a sock and a sock. It's just fantastic. But Jason Campbell, a terrible start and moving on. So I'll go to mine. Mine is much better, Rick. Maybe I don't think this is obvious. I got to keep fixing this for you. This is pathetic. But I...
Well, you keep turning it off.
Well,
here.
I'm gearing up for our next segment here, and you're messing with the board.
Yeah,
we shouldn't
right,
let you play with these things. Anyhow, my start this
you
week.
You suck.
Well, I haven't heard that since last season. We've sort of forgotten about that one. I like it. But talking about a guy who's sort of on the fringes. This week's tough, Rick. We talked about before the show. There's not a lot of big quarterbacks on bye this week. There's some big-name players on this week, more at the running back and receiver position. Hopefully not in a quarterback situation.
Well, exactly.
But some guys might be starting as other people have disappointed. I think a definite start this week against that New Orleans team, Carson Palmer. I think he's become a low-end number one fantasy quarterback as it is. And if you're viewing him as a two, as a high-end two, if you got him behind a Peyton Manning or something, I don't know who I'd bench for Carson Palmer, but I think Carson Palmer's a good start this week.
Oh, he's definitely a great start. There's no doubt about that. In fact, I would venture to say he has probably worked into a lot of starting lineups over the last month. I mean, he just keeps putting up point. I mean, every week.
If he threw touchdowns, he would be an easy number one fantasy quarterback. But there's a lot of 330-yard games with no touchdowns and two picks, or one touchdown and three picks. Is really the only thing holding him back from him being an unarguable number one fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Is that right? Inarguable, unarguable, how does that work? That's the chat room. They're a lot more intelligent than we are.
It's inarguable,
I think you made that up. So let's move on, Rick. Let's sit
I'm
a quarterback.
Allowed.
Here's your chance to redeem yourself after that Jason Campbell pick. Who are you going to sit this week?
Eli Manning. No. Okay, here's another situation. If you're one of these kind of guys that had to get out on the waiver wire, and, I mean, this is what I'm trying to get across here. You know, don't think Nick Foles is going to walk in and be the savior of Philadelphia.
I agree.
And I think he's going to have a long day. And Washington, you know, not the greatest defense in the league, that's for sure. And they can be passed on.
Easily.
I would not be surprised he gets a few yards, but he's going to get his knocks and maybe a few picks. I just don't think he's going to step right in.
Yeah, I mean, that Washington defense, terrible against the pass. I agree. He's going to get his yardage, but I can see him turning it over. He came in against Dallas. He was the great savior. It reminded me of the time I had the fortune, Rick, of being in Heinz Field the day that Cordell Stewart was finally benched for Tommy Maddox. And 70,000 people in unison rejoiced for the greatness of Tommy Maddox and how many Super Bowl wins came out of that. But that doesn't have anything to do. But you saw the same thing in Philadelphia last week. The kid come in, hit Macklin for that long touchdown. Here we go, the next great thing, the next Donovan McNabb. And for lack of a better term, he stunk after that. For the rest of that game, he became a turnover machine, just like Mike Vick, and I think this guy's got a long way to go. And there's a reason when there's so many rookie quarterbacks starting in the league this year, there's a reason he didn't come out of camp as a starter.
Right. Exactly. I agree. Couldn't have said it better.
All right. One, I'm going to sit, Rick. This one, here's another guy sort of dancing on the fringes. I don't think he's considered a number one quarterback, but maybe in some deeper leagues. But this guy, I'm going to say sit Andy Dalton this week, and I don't think a lot of guys are starting him. Here's the only reason I say it. I want to point out, I was just stunned to find this, that the Kansas City Chiefs only giving up about 215 yards per game against the pass. You saw them give Roethlisberger, even before the injury, a bit of a hard time last week. Bad as this Chiefs team is, interesting, Chiefs are sneaky good against the pass, and so Andy Dalton, I think, could have a bit of a tough time this week at Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're such a weird team, and, you know, they come up against Pittsburgh, almost won the game.
Yeah,
could have won it easily. I don't know if they're going to be play inspired football, where Cincinnati's going to come in and wax them 35-7.
Yeah, it's
and,
awesome.
But I tell you what, I have a feeling that you're probably closer to being right with Dalton because, you know, Kansas City, they had a decent defense. I was interested in them in preseason.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're pretty good defense, and they had the makings of a good team, I thought. But, you know, so that's probably not a bad sit.
All right, so let's move on, Rick. I'll start a running back first. This is a guy I've been pretty rough on lately. A guy I said pretty much belongs on your bench. However, surprised to find out that the Jets, 30th in the league against the run, giving up 4.4 yards a carry, coming off of a 100-yard performance and finding the end zone. I'm going to go ahead and start Steven Jackson this week against the Jets.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick at all. And quite frankly, my running back start is the exact same game. I think it's going to be a pounding game, and I like Sean Green.
Back to the Sean Green.
They've given up. They give up over 114 yards a game, and they've given up 10 rushing touchdowns. And you know, there's a lot worse you can throw out there right now.
Oh, no question about it. And with all these running backs on bye this week, your Chris Johnsons, your Adrian Petersons, et cetera, absolutely. Sean Green, probably. What, he's a top 20 back this week anyhow, which is a solid number two back. As much as I can't stand the guy, who are you going to sit him behind this week with all these big-name guys on bye?
Exactly, and there's a good case of just what you were talking about before. You happen to be sitting there with, you know, the Dwyer, Redmond, whatever, you
the
know,
Angela Williams,
you know,
yeah,
problem.
I'd be
DeAndre
really
Williams.
Happy to have Sean Green go
yeah,
play this week.
Yeah, I mean, you could get
anyhow
a 15 to 20 carry day and maybe even find the end zone. It'd
yeah
be a nice, reasonable play.
Squeeze out 70 or 80 yards, find the end zone. That'll be just fine in a number two running back role, absolutely. So am I sit this week, Rick, and I think there are some guys I'd start him over. I would start Steven Jackson over this guy were I be in this position. Going up against the 49ers defense, you know what they are, with the backup quarterback in, I can see Matt Forte having himself a long day this week.
Yeah, that's, you know, you got the backup quarterback, just like you said. San Francisco's coming off a game they probably should have won. Even though it could have went to the Rams, they actually should have won it
yeah
if they hadn't had such poor clock management. But, I mean, I know one in their hearts, they feel they should have won. It's a division game on top of that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it could be a long night day for Chicago.
Well, it's not a division game, but it's a conference
no
game.
No, the game with the Rams
well,
was
yeah,
a division
the
game.
Well, yeah, the Rams with the Gams, I believe I just said. This is what people are taking time out of their Friday night to listen to me say Rams with the Gams. So let's move on, Rick. Why don't you start a wide receiver and quit rolling your eyes at me?
I thought I was sitting a running back.
Oh, you didn't sit a running back yet?
No.
Well, it wouldn't have been very good anyhow, but yeah, go ahead.
If you haven't
stupid
learned
goal
yet, you're going up against a Houston defense. Don't think Rashard Jennings is a viable
no
running back start. Put him on your bench. Dump him. Get rid of
him.
At
this point, cut him. There's got to
yeah,
be
exactly
got to be something better on the waiver wire. Rashard Jennings is a cut for me, and I don't think there needs to be a lot of analysis beyond
no
that.
I'm just trying. Don't think he's going to emerge
yeah
as something great.
Absolutely. So, Rick, now if you don't mind, if you got time, if you quit playing with the gong for a couple of minutes, do you mind starting a wide receiver?
I don't mind at all. As a matter of fact, this guy has been – he's just sneaky – good, and I like Brandon Stokley in a flex spot or something in a bye situation on some of
yeah
these.
Yeah, he's interesting, you know, and he you're going against the yeah Chargers defense could be had a little bit, and
you know PPR he's not a great start. He doesn't get that many catches, but the guy seems to find the end zone.
Yeah,
and he's reliable to Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and if you're in a bind, why wouldn't you do it? Absolutely. For me, Rick, it's going to go, while I agreed with your quarterback, Sid, I think actually everything we said about that Washington pass defense, 30th in the league, giving up over 301 yards per game, the Washington Redskins are. I like DeSean Jackson this week. I think what you've seen out of Foles is he likes to go deep, you know what I mean? And so I think you can catch him, and this is what, again, in a PPR, Jackson never a real good option because he's only going to get three or four grabs. Could see him getting loose for one, getting deep for one against that defense that tends to overplay everything, especially if they can get LeSean McCoy going. And I like DeSean Jackson this week.
Okay, I actually thought of him just because of the vulnerability of the pass at Washington defense is. And I was having trouble on who to pick between him or Macklin, to be honest with
yeah
you. And
I think most people are starting
because I don't
Macklin
think you're
going to
get
weeks,
I don't though think you're going to get two good performances.
No, it'll be so one. But I think most people, right or wrong, are playing Macklin.
Yeah,
Jackson, that was poorly as performed, I think, spending some time on some benches. But I try to work him into your flex spot this week.
Yeah, there's a lot worse out there, that's for sure. And on my sit, I'm going Dwayne Bowe against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I think this game's going to be close. And,
yeah,
and it goes back to that old analysis that you pointed out a few weeks ago, and it seems to ring true. The closer the game, the less involved he really
yeah
is.
And
you're
exactly
just, you just don't get big games out of that. If Cincinnati was ahead 35-0, then he may be a great play because he'd probably get a couple touchdowns at the end of the game. But I think it's going to be close, and I'm just not looking for a big game from Dwayne Bowe.
And this guy, he's just not an every week start anymore. It's very disappointing, but he's just been a rough year for him, just not getting it done. So who I'm going to sit Rick this week, I'm going to go back to that Jacksonville-Houston game. We spent a lot of time talking about Cecil Shorts the last couple of weeks, coming off a 100-yard performance. Gabbert's going to be under the gun all day. He's going to be on his back most of the day, and I don't see Cecil Shorts having any success this
week. You just
week.
Like trying to say that name.
I do. It's as bad as PA Jets fan. Ooh, I got it that time.
And I'm not even going to comment. I've taken way too much time talking about Jacksonville the last two or three weeks.
Did you live there? Is that one of the places you lived in your gypsy days?
Well, I lived in Lake City, which is about 70 miles directly west of Jacksonville.
Of course you did. All right, Rick, well, I'll tell you what. Before we move into the game show that's sweeping the nation, we have a call on the line. So area code 609, you're on the air. Maybe. Hold on. You're on the air. Oh, we lost him. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's having Skype issues again or what's going on. I'm not sure there.
Well, we hate to lose a call, but we did. All right. Let's go on to, well, I guess it's the game that is sweeping the nation. It's Fact or Fiction.
I think we could get in trouble for stealing this theme song.
Yeah, we steal other songs.
Yeah, we stole everything. We stole everything else, I guess. All right, here we go, Rick. Fact or Fiction.
Brings back the memories, though, doesn't it?
Well, not really. For you.
See, here we go. You're very inconsistent with your old stuff.
Okay.
In fact, I even mentioned in the chat room, it's kind of funny, a couple of weeks ago, you made the comment when I brought up the show MASH.
Well, nobody watches it. It's old.
That's but how true. Well you know about All in the Family, which is actually the same time.
Yeah, but that show's funny.
Oh, Yabbit. Yabbit. I got you. All right. It's a Yabbit show.
You just yabbited me. So let's start it out, Rick. I'm going to start with you, since you have a chip on your shoulder today. What are you pointing at? Oh, yeah.
Get with the program.
Oh, this show is a train wreck. That's what we get for doing our prep 7 minutes before we go on the air. So, Rick, fact or fiction?
We just need more control boards. That's a problem.
I think that's what we need. We'll get another one. We got to get a better setup here. Fact or fiction, if I may. Andrew Luck has more passing yards this week than Tom Brady.
Boy, I tell you, that's a good question.
Well, that wasn't very
that
good.
Was pitiful.
Try that again. There
we
is.
Go. I think it's going to be close, but as the heavy dose of Stephen Ridley seems to be more prevalent, 280 yards seems to be, or 50 to 80 yards is plenty with Tom Brady.
Yeah, and that seems to be what he's putting up, not putting up those cartoon-like numbers. I don't know what the answer is. You're not going to make a lot of money ever betting against Tom Brady. I just asked the question because it's interesting to think. You would have laughed me out of this studio if I'd asked you this question 7 weeks ago. It's interesting the ascension of Andrew Luck to this point where we're talking about him in the same sentence as a Tom Brady, I think is the point I'm making here.
And I do not think that he's going to have more fantasy points
than
Tom Brady.
Because Brady will be in the end zone about seven more times than him in all likelihood.
Yeah, I don't know. I can see Tom Brady getting... Yeah, three touchdowns. I don't know about Luck finding the end zone that many times.
Yeah, probably not. And he may run one in, though, which could be the equalizer, one thing that he surprised us with this year, running the ball.
Okay, fact or fiction. Phillip Rivers has more fantasy points than Peyton Manning.
No chance. I can see. I believe it's San Diego going to Denver, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think San Diego gets hammered in this game. I think Manning has a big game. Rivers coming off a good game, been a turnover machine, a really good Broncos defense. I think Peyton Manning pretty much wipes the floor with not only Rivers, but the entire Chargers team.
I agree. We talked about that in that show Wednesday. You brought up the point, these are the kind of games that San Diego, you know, tends to win. Yeah, but they were winning against... Kansas City.
Yeah.
Not Peyton Manning anymore.
In Denver. Not
Tim
in Denver.
Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're beating Tim Tebow in Denver. I don't think you're beating Peyton Manning.
I agree.
All right, Rick. Well, it looks like our caller's back on the line. Let's try it one more time here. I'll hit the button. Area code 609. Do we got you now?
Hey, good evening, guys. It's Jersey and Hauser. How you doing today?
All right. How's it going?
Yeah, I lost you summer. Sorry about that. Hey, two quick questions. In my standard league, I got Romo in there now, but I also have Freeman. I kind of like Romo at home going against Cleveland, figuring, you know, they pass more because they don't have a good running back versus Tampa Bay playing against Carolina. It's a division game. You know, they got a good running game in Martin. And, you know, both teams have only given up maybe one touchdown, passing touchdown to quarterbacks recently. Who do you like better? Again, I have Romo in there, but my choice is either Romo or Freeman. You get a point for every 25 yards passing. So who gives me the most upside for yardage and maybe scores, you know, passing touchdowns?
Yeah, you know, I think probably most simply for me it's Tony Romo just based on that Cleveland matchup. I like Freeman overall between the two of them most weeks. But going against Cleveland, I agree with you. You know, going Carolina's been struggling, don't get me wrong, but it is a division game. And actually, I predicted, Rick, as you're shaking your head at me.
No,
yeah, Carolina, I think, is going to win this game this week. I think Freeman could struggle, and I like Tony Romo.
And I like Josh Freeman.
Well, he didn't ask you, he asked me.
Yeah, he did. What's your other question?
My other question is, in my other league, in my PPR league, I got Brady as my quarterback. He had to carry two quarterbacks. I'm 6-4, I'm in second. Do I drop Wilson, the quarterback from Seattle, since I really don't need him anymore, unless Brady went down, because Michael Vick got dropped. Would Vick ever come back? I mean, Vick may start if Foles gets hurt, but who knows what's going on there. But
you got Tom Brady. I wouldn't worry about any other quarterback.
Well, but I
–
oh, yeah, he starts two?
No, but he has to carry a second one.
Oh.
So,
carry a second. And so you get 10-point rushing touchdown. You get 10 points. You get a point for every 20 yards passing. You get 300 yards. You get another 4 bonus points. 350, another 10 bonus points. It's quarterback heavy, so I'm thinking if I get Vic and he doesn't start, at least somebody else can't use him against me, even though I'll never start him unless, like I said, because Brady would start it every day. But would it be better to have Vic on my bench or keep Wilson from Seattle based on that scoring capability? And who knows if Vic will even come back?
Wilson.
Get hurt. You know what I mean?
Totally Wilson.
Now, you're wrong again, Rick. I don't know what you're doing.
No, I don't want Michael Vick on there. Too many turnovers.
But listen.
Russell Wilson. You're not going to be playing him anyway because Brady's not going to get hurt.
That's the point. But
get the guy that's going to be healthy the rest of the year. You don't know how long you're going to have Vick. Brady's going to be your guy. So at least if he's even off for one game, you got a guy that you know you're going to play, and you don't know if Vick's going to be hurt or come back. And trust me, I'm right.
All right, well, I'll accept that one. I actually leaned Vic a little bit, but Rick made a pretty good argument for it. So he's probably right. Knowing Tom Brady, I'm knocking on wood here. You're not going to lose him. I don't think it's going to be real relevant anyhow. You might as well have a guy that you know is going to be available. If Brady would get down this week, you're still a few weeks away from having anything to do with Vic.
I got you. All right, guys. Appreciate your help.
All right.
I'll see you guys this weekend. Thanks for the chat.
That sounds good. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right, Rick, so we're at Fact or Fiction. Who's up here?
I believe you are.
Okay, I am up. So, Rick, Fact or Fiction, Felix Jones is a viable starter this week. Are you drunk? Is that what's going on?
I'm not drunk. How am I drunk? I fall asleep. No, he's almost like Rashard Jennings to me. If you're not believing now.
He has managed to find the end zone a couple of times, and you're going against a really porous Cleveland run defense.
I just don't buy him. You've got to have a better option, I would think, on you. But look, if you've got a Peterson or one of these guys off, and you've had him stashed on your bench, you're probably going to have him in there, and that's okay. But if you're talking, you know, as a viable RB2, something like that, I'm not buying him.
Yeah, well, I think for 1 week he could be, though. I'm actually going to go fact on that one. You never feel good about it again, like you're not going to make a lot of money betting against Brady. You're not going to make a lot of money betting on Felix Jones. But against Cleveland, he has had a bit of a nose for the end zone since he's been in, even with some down rushing numbers. I'd say, depending on the situation, I'd feel comfortable playing him.
And that's, I guess that's the key that really gets me. The 1 week he doesn't find an end zone, you're done.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no question about it.
And that's what you're not looking for, you know, as a fill-in. I mean, obviously you want the end zone, you know, score, But you want to get some points. You want to just get a few fantasy points. And if he doesn't find the end zone, you're not finding them.
Well,
right,
that's true. I'll give you that much.
Okay, fact or fiction? This
I just wanted to do that to you.
This is a great question. Very.
I doubt that. Let's not oversell it now.
Blaine Gabbert has more fantasy points than Mark Sanchez. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis gets 100 yards against Kansas City.
I just have no faith in Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to ever get 100 yards. Could he have a nice game? Could he have 75 yards, 80 yards? Could he find the end zone? Yes. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis isn't going to run for 100 yards. That's just not who he is, apparently. He's losing some carries. I don't see any way unless he busts one off for 75, which isn't his game. I don't see any way he gets to 100 yards.
Yeah, he's turning into that 75 yard a game guy. And if you get lucky with the touchdown, yeah, exactly. And he just doesn't seem to be throwing out that big game. I've got him in more than one league because we were awful high on him.
Yeah, that's one we may have been wrong on.
Yeah, he hasn't destroyed you because he actually gets the carries. He's not like some of these things where Jamal Charles got four carries and so forth. He's getting the work. He's just not breaking loose for you, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Rick, fact or fiction? This week Mike Wallace has 6 catches against the Baltimore Ravens.
Say that again.
Mike Wallace has 6 catches this week against the Baltimore Ravens.
I don't think so. I don't think Byron Leftwich is going to have time to get the ball that deep all the time. And with his 30-second windup, I mean, you've got to be a little quicker. And, I could see maybe 3 or 4 catches. He may even get a big gain if the pocket doesn't collapse and he outruns the coverage because Leftwich can get it to him.
Yeah.
But, I don't see 6, 7 catches.
No, I agree 100%. My predicted stat line for Mike Wallace, go ahead and write this down on your – chisel it into your tablet over there. The stat line for Mike Wallace this week, 2 catches, 74 yards, and a touchdown. I see him busting loose for one big one, 65-yard range, catches one underneath at some point for a big first down. But I see no more than 2 grabs, but I think one of them is going to be a deep one for a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, it's my turn. And just in case you don't know, if you just think this is a real game show, we're Fleeger and Briggs. This is the Asylum Fantasy Football Show on asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Also known as All in the Family.
And Benny Hill and John Madden.
That's me.
Okay, now you're one of these situations, okay? Maybe you got, Ben Roethlisberger, Michael Vick. Now,
okay.
You have a choice between backup quarterback. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
John Skelton is a better start than Brandon Whedon. He's at Atlanta. Skelton is. Whedon's at Dallas.
Now, I like Whedon in general. Here's a guy. Remember, Rick, 3 weeks ago we were talking about when the bye weeks were in full swing, Whedon as a guy you should be starting. And in 2 awful games back-to-back and now coming off the bye. But 3 weeks ago, we were talking about this guy. If you're big-name guys on bye, we were putting him up with the likes of, who are we talking here, Carson Palmer, maybe not that high up. But guys you have in the number 2 role, Alex Smith, we were putting him above all of these guys. So what I do know about him is he has a capability of doing it. Will he do it? That I certainly can't promise you. I don't know which Brandon Whedon I'm going to get. He's at least shown the capability to go out and throw for 300 yards and maybe throw a touchdown. What tells you John Skelton's going to do anything of the sort?
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, Cleveland's been I think this is going to be a competitive game this week, Cleveland-Dallas. I know you don't think – you've been really high on Dez Bryant as a starter against Cleveland. But I think it's going to be a pretty close game, to be honest with you. I think they're going to pound Trent Richardson. And Whedon's going to get a few chances to score some points in the passing lane. So, I'll go with Whedon.
Yeah, the one tough thing with the Browns is they've been in most every game. I won't say every game, but in most games, they're just good enough to lose by a field goal to anybody they come up against.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. And they're actually improving a little bit. They're coming off a bye. So, you know, time will tell. I think let's hope they don't start finding their stride against Pittsburgh next week.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Rick, fact or fiction, we spent a lot of time on this at the beginning of the show. We'll hit on it one more time. Fact or fiction, Rashard Mendenhall was the Steelers' leading rusher this week.
No, I don't think so. We already kind of hit on that. I think he's obviously going to see some carries if he's playing, and but I think it's going to be Dwyer is going to get the lion's share of it, although I think Redmond's going to get his fair share as well. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I can see him getting no carries, one or two carries. I could see him maybe suiting up and actually not playing in this game. Not quite ready just yet.
Well, there's chat room disagrees with you very, very bad.
Really? What do they disagree with?
Our boy Shane thinks he's going to be the leading rusher. It's a fact.
Does he?
Yeah.
It's a fact. So
I'm just wondering. Let me listen. I don't know. I didn't see it.
You're using the gong now to declare I don't know.
Well, no, I just didn't see it. That's how I see things.
That's interesting, though. So Shane thinks they're going to feed him the ball, because that's what it's going to come down to, I think, is who gets the most carries. I think whoever they're giving it to is going to have success against this Ravens run defense. I just don't know, coming off all these injuries, like you said at the top of the show, do they feed him the ball enough? I don't think they do. Maybe it's possible. I don't want any part of this mess.
I don't think they're going to pound him this week, even though they need the game. I don't think they're going to force him in, because the run game's been successful the last few weeks, and I think they're going to have to work him in. I think they're going to choose to work him in slow.
Yeah, I would think so. That would be my instinct, but I suppose you just never know. It's going to be whoever has the hot hand at the end.
Okay, I guess it's me.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Okay.
If you don't have anything else going on.
With all the injuries that they have and the desperation that the need to win is that Detroit has, fact or fiction, Green Bay gets upset.
No chance. The way Detroit has managed to shrink all year, I think the Packers just hammer them. I really do. I think 17 to 21, somewhere in that range. I don't think this game's even close.
Okay.
All right, so fact or fiction, Rick, a guy who's very near and dear to your heart this year, Brandon Marshall finishes with 100 yards this week.
Oh, boy.
Use your head, not your heart. There you go.
I believe Brandon Marshall's going to get about 84 yards. That's it.
I'm tired of the gong. 84 yards and a touchdown.
Yep.
I think
you saw what he did in Miami.
Yeah.
And he got.
What he didn't do is get in the end zone, though. I might give you the. Well, you know what? But it's weird. It's opposite this week. I could see him getting in the end zone. 84 yards may be a little high, though. I don't have any confidence
so.
That Jason Campbell will be able to throw for 84 yards.
I do. I really do. I mean, this guy's not. He's been around, he's experienced, and he kind of reminds me. He's not somebody you want all the time. But kind of like the Steelers, why Charlie Batch doesn't come in anymore, but I guess he's just ancient.
Well, yeah, he's almost as old as you are.
I know. He wears a sweatshirt. He doesn't even dress anymore. But, you know, when he came in, you just had that feeling, okay, we'll be all right for this game.
It's not
going to
be pretty, but it's not going to be pretty, but we're going to be all right.
I think he'll be fine.
Okay.
A lot better defense to go against than I would want to see. But,
yeah, and that's my big issue. And the big thing is the rapport between him and Cutler is what's going to be desperately missing there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, fact or fiction. Cam Newton has more fantasy points than Josh Freeman. I already know the answer, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. I'm no Cam Newton fan. We've assailed him many a time on these very airwaves. But I think, like I said to the caller, like I said on Jay Smooth's show on Wednesday night, I see Carolina coming out winning this game. I don't know why. I just get that vibe. And I think if they win, it's because he's rushing the ball. He's running the ball, and he's finding the end zone running the ball. And I think that's the difference between him and Josh Freeman this week.
Okay.
Wow, no rebuttal. I like it.
No, I mean, it's very – I think it's going to be a good game. It's a division game. They play each other tough, and Cam Newton, like you said, with his legs, he gets the points, and, you know, I agree with you.
All right. Well, as you should, so at least we'll get one right this week. So, Rick, I've asked this. This will be the third week in a row. We're 0-2. We're going to keep asking it till we get it right, and then we're going to say the next week that you heard it here first. Factor Fiction Week, Factor Fiction Rick, this is the week that Tim Tebow finally replaces Mark Sanchez. He's giving up the dream.
There's no dream. He's a gimmick, if nothing, you know. And, you know. He's going to get his play. I don't want to talk about this. This is just useless stuff. I mean, you know, the Jets are going down. Sanchez is basically, yeah, we're talking fantasy. Both of them are irrelevant.
Yeah.
It makes no difference who's starting on that team anyway.
It's just fun to talk about.
It's really not.
But all right.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I actually think that Rexy would probably have a mutiny on his hands if it ever did happen.
Yeah, with all the stuff going on.
Feelings about Tim Tebow.
Although I don't know, is that something Rex would do just to get a rise out of everybody? I think this may be the week it could happen just for that. He likes to get a stir out of not only the media, the public, but his own guys when he has a chance to.
And I don't know. Okay, I would guess you're probably right. If there's a need for a change at quarterback and it happens against the Rams,
yeah,
then I guess you probably ought to change.
Yeah, then maybe that's a thing. Yeah. Give it a whirl what he had to lose at this point.
I guess. Okay, fact or fiction. And I think I know the answer to this one. But in PPR, fact or fiction, Danny Amendola has more fantasy points than DeSean Jackson.
Probably not the way you thought I was going to go, but like I said, I really like DeSean Jackson this week. I made him my start. Problem is, when you're talking PPR, DeSean Jackson, a big game for him would be 3 or 4 grabs. He'll just have one of those 70 or 80 yard touchdowns,
right,
which I can see happening again. I can see him easily getting over top of that Washington defense. However, in a PPR, even against a tough Jets team, if Amendola, if you're talking a full-point PPR, if he can haul in 6 or 7 balls, and being that he's pretty much the only game in town, I don't think that's unrealistic. I think it'll be tight. I think that's a pretty good matchup, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to take Amendola there.
All right.
All right, let's move on, Rick. Fact or fiction, we'll go back to this Tampa Bay game. Doug Martin rebounds this week against the Panthers.
Okay,
rebound.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
120 yards and a touch. Total yards and a touchdown. Total yards.
120 total yards and a touchdown.
That's an 18-point week.
Yeah, I think so. Carolina's defense has been improving. I think it's going to be a pretty tough game. I mean, look, Carolina's, they've played everybody tough in the division.
Seems yeah.
like that early in the year, they should have had Atlanta.
Yeah,
let
they,
that
they
one get away.
Them, yeah.
yeah. And but I still think total yards, I think he's going to get there. I think he may get 100-yard rushing.
Yeah, he could be there. I could see him 80-40 in a touchdown, 80 rush, 40 receiving, 90 rush, 30 receiving. I think that'd be pretty realistic for him to get to. And if Tampa Bay is going to stay in the game, I think that's the way they're going to, well, not stay in the game, but win that game. If they have a chance to win it, that's how they're going to get there.
Okay, fact or fiction. This is pretty pathetic. I mean, this is the best I can come up with. But I just keep revisiting this guy. Matt Castle is a viable start.
No.
Okay.
No more information than that, Rick.
Even against Cincinnati?
No, I don't care. Even against,
I agree 100%.
Your son's JV team, he's not a viable start. Well, Rick, we have blathered on. We are completely out of time. I lost track of the clock, so mercifully this show is over.
Well, I don't really consider it mercifully. I mean, we did blather, but it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I suppose. Hopefully everybody in the chat room enjoyed it. So that's it for this week. Go ahead, hit us up on Twitter, at Asylum Football, 8 away from that elusive 1,000. Please help us get there. To everyone at 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the Rock, thank you. Any questions, any tweets, right up till kickoff, we'll take care of them for you at Asylum Football and AsylumFantasyFootball@gmail.com.
Yes, indeed. And don't forget to check us out local, WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
Until the Tuesday night blitz, Tuesday at 6:30, right here at this same station. We'll see you.
Take care, 996 and counting.
Oh, we're getting there. So